Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the five ways to get rid of your timeshare. Get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Get your free guide at iCancelTimeshare.com. That's iCancelTimeshare.com. iCancelTimeshare.com.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Wow. We got to do a paging John Jackson, paging the Joker from X, paging John Jackson start here in this 8 o'clock hour of the show this morning. First off, great to be with you here with Montana Talks in studio this morning. We're going to be taking your phone calls later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, especially with so many things in the news. And then tomorrow, we're going to be broadcasting live from Columbia Falls. We're going to have open microphones ready for you at Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls. And then I get the great honor of serving as MC for the Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner in Kalispell tomorrow night. And then we've got a great lineup of events. I'm going to be in Libby, Northwest Montana. We'll be in Libby. We're going to be at the Mustang Bakery. It's Saturday morning. We'll have some gift cards for you. Come join us for coffee and some baked goods. Then we're going to be at the grocery store. We're going to have some very nice gift cards to give away at the grocery store at Empire Foods in Libby on Saturday between about 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And then Fawn in Eureka, we're finally making it happen. We're going to come see you and all our friends in Eureka at North Point Bar and Grill on Saturday night. I've got the full rundown, the full lineup of events now posted. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Oh, and then before that, I almost forgot. Tomorrow, for a late breakfast lunchtime, we are also going to have a great event in Kalispell with covering part of the cost of your meal. We're gonna be at the Two Brothers Cafe, in Kalispell, right there on Highway 2, right after we wrap up our show at Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls tomorrow. So, like I say, full lineup, full rundown of events at MontanaTalks.com. But when I say paging John Jackson, paging the Joker from Twitter, the Joker from X, I don't know if he has seen this yet, but the New York Times just released a poll. This is the New York Times. And John Jackson, your buddy, old Fussy Bussy, you know, the pro-gun control, the no-limits abortion Democrat candidate for governor, Ryan Bussy, according to this survey from the New York Times, is down 22 points to Montana's very popular governor, Greg Gianforte. But that's not even the biggest news that came out of the New York Times. According to the New York Times, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy has an 8-point lead over liberal Senator John Tester in a New York Times poll. The New York Times says, quote, "Control of the Senate appears likely to flip from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party this fall. As one of the nation's most endangered Democrats, Senator John Tester of Montana trails his Republican challenger in his bid for reelection, according to a new poll from the New York Times and Siena College." Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You can see that full story. We've been talking about the U.S. Senate race. We got to talk more about these constitutional initiatives, these very dangerous ballot initiatives that are on your ballot, getting mailed out today, by the way. CI-128. We've got an open letter to the church in Montana that's posted on our Montana Talks website right now. The two pastors who co-authored this letter in studio, we'll chat with them right after this.
Securing America.
Two Russian nationals and a third individual with dual Russian and German citizenship are now facing federal charges of smuggling, wire fraud, money laundering, and export control violations after conducting what the feds call a scheme to try and get their hands on U.S. microelectronics and then send them to a Russian company, which routinely sends electronic components to manufacturers who provide weapons and other equipment to the Russian military. The two Russians remain at large while the third suspect was taken into custody earlier this year. Authorities say the three purposely concealed the true nature of their business and in doing so put U.S. national security at risk. The technology the defendants stole include the types of electronic components which have been recovered in Russian military hardware on the battlefield in Ukraine, including Russian-guided missiles, drones, and electronic warfare and communications devices. Kim Uresky, Fox News.
Hi.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I got a message here from Patrick Webb. Patrick Webb is with the Montana Family Foundation, and this is a total grassroots effort speaking out really about the urgency involved here, the urgency of the situation. You know, there's millions of dollars flooding the state of Montana right now from left-wing dark money mega donors promoting CI-128. And so this was kind of a grassroots effort. They wanted to put together a letter to the church in Montana, specifically a call to people of faith about the urgency to speak out against CI-128, which is more than just a radical abortion initiative. As you know, it could open up the door to all sorts of other craziness here in Montana. But they've got nearly 120 signatures from pastors, reverends, faith leaders serving 103 churches across 48 cities in Montana. That full letter to the church in Montana is on our Montana Talks website right now. The two pastors who co-authored this are Ted Sutton and Joe Schreibeis, and great to have both of you pastors in the house with us here this morning. Pastor Joe Schreibeis, let's start with you, because a lot of people know the Schreibeis name if they've been following Montana football over the years.
That's
so
right. That's
good
right.
To see you played for the Bobcats, and now you're a part of a much more important team, it sounds like, here.
That's right.
No offense to the Bobcats there.
Yeah, no offense. The Bobcats did play, had a great time there. My brother Caleb also played. I've been a pastor since graduating, done some missions work and then pastoring. So it's been a joy here in Billings, pastor Valley Bible Church, and my friend Ted Sutton, pastor of Christ Covenant Reformed Church here in town. We're friends, but we don't line up on every issue. He's Presbyterian, I'm more Baptistic, but we know that this issue of abortion is one that's just near and dear to our hearts. We believe this CI-128 is an issue that we need to rally around as Christians. We think the abortion issue is very clear. We know that God hates the shedding of innocent blood, according to Proverbs 6, 10 commandments, sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. So killing of an unborn baby is what we believe is wrong. And we don't think this is very controversial. We think that the church should be able to stand up together and say, hey, this is wrong. We know that the evil of abortion already exists in our state and is already permissible. And so we don't want to give any more ground in that direction. We're rallying the church. We wanted to write this letter to get pastors, namely, to say, hey, we can stand on this issue. We can link arms. And so we've written the letter. We've got 120 different pastors from across the state who have stood with us and have committed not only to just sign the letter, but to have committed to equip their congregations to vote against this thing. And so we're really excited about this.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that. I saw there was a Fox News story, or maybe it was a Daily Caller story this morning, a couple of different stories actually reporting on this, that this one group of people could change, you know, the elections, could change the face of this country, politically speaking. And I think this would apply probably across denominations, but they're saying one-third of evangelical Christians don't vote.
I saw that. Yeah.
And that if just that one-third voted, that they could have a dramatic impact on this country right now. So that, and I would imagine that would apply across faiths, across denominations. Pastor Ted Sutton, talk particularly about why you think churches need to get involved and communities of faith particularly need to start getting engaged on this issue.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor and privilege to be here. And wholeheartedly agree with my brother, Pastor Joe, over here. One of the things that we wanted to do right away when I came to Montana, took the call to serve as the pastor I wanted to get a group of like-minded pastors together for kind of a fellowship and fraternity, but so that we could also speak as the church against these evils in our day. And so I think it's vital. This is the church's role and responsibility to push back and to speak prophetically against these wicked, immoral things that are taking place. And so, I mean, you just said you kind of gave a good reason for this. If the church, if evangelicals were to come and fight against this, we could pose a very big threat to opposition against these kinds of things that are taking place, not just in Montana, but all over the nation. And so, yeah, it has to start with the church. The church is to be salt and light in the world. And we are to be kind of the embassy of the kingdom of God. And we have to take a stand. And if we can't take a stand on life, if we can't take a stand on the most innocent of humans, then I don't know where we're going to take a stand.
Yeah, I get it that there's faith leaders that they don't want to weigh in on maybe tax policy or, right. Well, how do we deal with housing prices? Free market solution, government solution, but life, marriage, religious liberty, things like that seems like yeah. The easy ones. But yet, do you get the sense that there's so many even faith leaders that are just so afraid and too timid to speak out on some of the biggest issues of the day?
That's certainly the case. Unfortunately, I think there's been this lie that the church has believed that the Bible doesn't speak to a lot of issues, or that God doesn't care about a lot of issues, and there's just this big vacuum of neutrality where people can line up politically differently. But that's just not true. The Bible speaks to a whole host of issues. And we would say some issues the Bible doesn't speak as clearly to, like you could say immigration policy. Christians might line up on different sides of that issue. But some issues are so clear, like abortion. This is one we have to stand up together on. And there just isn't room for disagreement on it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, with immigration policy, it's like, okay, do we go there for and help people in the countries they're at? Or do we just, you know, bring everybody to America and potentially sink the great rescue ship known as the United States of America? Yeah, people can disagree on that strategy, right? Well, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. And again, this full letter to the church on our Montana Talks website right now.
Military matters.
With tensions mounting in the Middle East, Hurricane Milton forced U.S. Central Command to evacuate its headquarters in Tampa. U.S. Central Command is normally located at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, which evacuated most of its warplanes ahead of the storm. Here's former CENTCOM Commander General Frank McKenzie, who decided to ride out the storm at his home in Tampa Bay.
The headquarters is designed to go other places, to go away from here under conditions like this. They are no longer operating out of MacDill. They're in another location, a safe location. They practiced this a lot when I was in command. We did several rehearsals for this. We anticipate these things occurring, and the headquarters is designed to accommodate it. But again, I go back to what I began with. The primary requirement is the commander's got to be in communications. If he can't talk up and down the chain of command, then he's not really in command.
So if Israel or Iran decide to strike during the hurricane, the current U.S. Central Commander, General Eric Kurilla, will still have command and control over the U.S. response. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Hey, we better keep the phone lines open for Thursday's Montana Talks because you want to get a chance to weigh in. You want to get a chance to be heard all across Montana. We had a couple of big guests on Wednesday's show. Then Friday, we're going to be live from Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls. So we'll try to keep the phone lines open for you on Thursday's show, barring some other big major developments. Montana Talks statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m., the show where you get to talk and be heard all across the great state of Montana.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the 5 ways to get rid of your timeshare. Get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Get your free guide at iCancelTimeshare.com. That's iCancelTimeshare.com. iCancelTimeshare.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, great to have a couple of pastors in the house with us here, Pastor Joe Schreibeiss and Ted Sutton. Pretty cool side note here, Ted Sutton, Pastor Sutton, is a Coast Guard veteran, so served on active duty in the Coast Guard and then a number of years as a Coast Guard reservist as well. So, Ted, thanks for your service. I always get excited when I meet a Coast Guard veteran in Montana because there's not a lot of you guys out there. So always fun when we run into one. Flip your microphone up just a little bit higher. There, I don't want to get it stuck in your cool guy beard there, so we can hear you. You know, when it comes to the topic of abortion, our listeners know very clearly where both of you stand, and I think where most, you know, pastors, ministers, priests would stand, and most of our listeners would agree with you. They are pro-life. They despise abortion. And the abortion mill industry that is just on steroids in this country right now, frankly. But I also know that we've got a number of listeners out there who, even if they don't like abortion, they still worry about abortion being outlawed altogether, or there being, you know, or maybe they consider themselves pro-choice on some issues. But even if you talk with the average Democrat voter out there, even they, not their elected Democrat officials, but the average Democrat voter out there thinks that there should be a line drawn somewhere. And that's what is so dangerous about this CI-128 initiative, is it is very deceptively written, deceptively crafted to make you think that it allows a line to be drawn somewhere, but it doesn't. This actually, we've had multiple legal analyses done on this that show that this would essentially allow late-term abortions all the way up until the due date of the baby. But then this is about even more than even just abortion. If this is supposedly about women and abortion, then why is there no you know, female pronouns or the mention of women even right in this initiative? Either of you want to weigh in on that front?
Yeah, well, the way the initiative is written is very vague, unclear terms, terms that have not been defined, that could, a lot of meaning could be read into these things, and it really is just smuggling in a lot of things into our state that we don't want. And so, yeah, there's much to be concerned about in this bill. That, again, we're just saying, okay, abortion's evil. We recognize that people might not all agree with the biblical perspective on these things, but as churches and as Christians, we want to rally around the saving of human lives, and we want to be about adoption and willing to, for the church and other families to take babies and things like that out of such difficult situations. We would love nothing more. We just don't think it's right ever to kill a baby in the womb. That's our position. It's just wrong to kill a baby in the womb.
Pastor Sutton, I know there's some people out there that are saying, well, if we speak out on this, if we use the pulpit to speak out on this, you know, the authorities could come after. I mean, they're throwing, you know, right now the federal government under the Biden-Harris regime, they're throwing peaceful pro-life protesters behind bars. They're spying on Catholic churches in this country. They've gone after parents, criticizing school board decisions. But I guess my take on that would be is, okay, maybe you don't feel you can get up at the pulpit and say, hey, you as congregants, we're encouraging you to vote this way or that way. But even without telling people how to vote or how not to vote, you can get up there and inform them on what this initiative would do and how bad this initiative would be. You can educate people all day long about these initiatives and what they would do without even telling people how to vote or how not to vote, and then they can make up their own minds on how to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. Again, on this issue, it's cut and dry. It's clear. It's black and white. It's there's no jagged edges or anything like that. God's word is utterly clear on the unlawful taking of human life, which abortion is. And so ministers should have really no problem preaching this from the pulpit. Now, I recognize that, you know, CI-128 is a particular bill, and so from the pulpit, not wanting to necessarily speak to a bill. There are a whole host of ways you can go about doing that. You can point people to good organizations, Montana Family Life, you know, your radio show. You can point people to these places where they've done a lot of good work on the bill and what the bill is and what the bill the language of the bill and all those different things. If a pastor or minister doesn't feel comfortable speaking to those things. But I'll just be honest. I'll be quite blunt. If you're a pastor right now living in the 21st century American context and culture, and you're not willing to speak on this issue, you need to step down. You are not fit for the ministry.
Well, again, I'm the furthest thing from a pastor, so it's a good thing we got two pastors here in the house with us right now. But I don't know about the furthest thing, but yeah, you know, you get the point. My point being is that I've got a friend who actually ran the numbers. When you look at the various commands that are spelled out in the Bible, do not do this, do not do that, do not fear, and do not worry. Collectively, I think do not fear is, I think, the one of the commands that's spelled out probably more than any other in the Bible. I don't know if you guys could verify that for me, but I mean, but yet how many people are living in fear and don't even want to speak out on some of this stuff?
Well, I'll go one step further, and now every text needs to be interpreted and you know, context and all that. But in the book of Revelation, it speaks of cowardice as one of those things that will not, if you're a coward, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or I believe it's Revelation. Maybe it's somewhere else. So, I agree. I think again, God's word speaks clearly to these issues, and now is the time. Now is the chance for the church, as the church, to speak into these issues.
And I think some of the fear there for some people is that we want to attract people to the church. We want people to come and be warm and welcoming, inviting. And sometimes I feel like the church has been adulterated with the goal of just getting as many people to come as possible, rather than, I think, the goal of the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, as we see in Ephesians 4. So it's a pastor's job to be teaching a biblical ethic, a biblical worldview to our people. And what, on this issue, what's been encouraging is that we've got churches of all different shapes and colors that have signed this letter. I mean, if just even thinking in Billings, we do have two smaller congregations represented between me and Pastor Ted, but we've also got two of the larger churches in town, Faith Chapel and Faith Evangelical, the pastors have signed this. And so that's greatly encouraging to us that, you know, there's probably a lot of differences that we might have between various churches who have signed, but we can all come together and rally on this, again, very clear, definitive issue.
Well, and I suspect after, you know, we shared this on our Montana Talks website, people are hearing you right now. I think you're going to have even more faith leaders stand up and sign this open letter to the church in Montana as well. Yeah, how can they do
that?
On that
point, yeah, if any pastors out there hearing this and say, I'd love to sign this bill, we want more people to sign, you could go to the Montana Family Foundation website and click that CI-128 issue tab, and you can pull up our letter and sign it. We'd love for more pastors to sign. And really what we're asking pastors to do is not only sign, but then to equip their congregation to vote against this thing, teach the biblical worldview on this issue. So that's what we're so excited about, that pastors all across the state are saying, yes, we will do that. I had a good friend here in Billings recently tell me he's going to preach on the subject of abortion soon. I'm just thrilled to see that that this letter is encouraging people and pastors to speak on this issue.
You talk about a sign and people signing a letter. Speaking of signs, our good friend, the rabbi, the Jewish rabbi in Bozeman with the synagogue there, Rabbi Chaim Bruck, he called into the show on the October 7th anniversary earlier this week. He was in Chester, Montana, hitting the High Line. Then he drove down through Great Falls. And last week I was in Whitefish with the Montana Equipment Dealers Association. And anyway, so I know a lot of our equipment dealers across Montana. The rabbi had never met the Hovens, Brian Hoven and his his family and the team that runs Hoven Equipment in Great Falls, and they got an outfit in Lewistown as well. The rabbi is driving past Hoven Equipment, and there he sees this massive Israeli flag showing support for our friends in Israel and showing support for the Jewish people that are under attack right now. And so the rabbi shared that on X and social media. And again, it's bold statements like that you don't know how much impact you are truly having right now. And I think that sign was just one of those examples. What else? Let's see, before we run out of time, and then I've got Kyle Schmock joining us from the state legislature. He's been following this Soviet-style show trial against Attorney General Austin Knutson in Helena. He's going to join us in just a few minutes. But Pastor Sutton, Pastor Schreibeis, what else do you want to leave our listeners with here before we run out of time?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to come back to what it means to be a Christian. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So we, as Christians, we just take a hard look at what Jesus said and his commandments for our lives. And then we live accordingly. And that's really what we're asking Christians to do. It's just, let's look at the, what the Bible has said and instructions that we've been given. And then we need to live in light of that, despite the fear that there might be or the pushback that we might receive. I mean, it's always been difficult to follow Christ. I mean, Christians have always been persecuted for their faith. And so even if this issue seems to be less and less popular in our day, we still have to follow Christ and do what's right and honor the Lord. And that occasionally means doing things like John the Baptist did when he stood up to Herod and said, hey, that what you've done is unlawful. That's not right. And we need to be able to have that voice as well as a church to speak against evil when we see it.
Pastor Sutton, final thoughts from you.
No, I think that was well said. I echo everything that Pastor JoJo said. You know, one of my favorite texts is when Jesus, he's looking at the synagogues, and he looks at them and he says that the sheep are like sheep without a shepherd. But he doesn't leave that in despair. The next text is pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send workers into the field, right? And I think right now is the opportunity for the church to step up and step in. And I think this is a unique time in which we live and a unique opportunity for the church, for ministers, for the people of God to step up. To go into these things and speak against them.
Full letter, go to MontanaTalks.com. The full letter being shared by the Montana Family Foundation. You can see it, MontanaTalks.com. And then, get a hold of the Montana Family Foundation if you want to sign on to the letter that these two pastors have been telling us about. Gentlemen, thank you so much for what you do. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, quick break. We'll get to Kyle Schmock right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get to your phone calls coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. We've got a big lineup here in this 8 o'clock hour, but we'll have open phones coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. A lot to get to here, especially as absentee ballots hit mailboxes. They should be getting mailed out tomorrow, I think, is what I saw in what I've been hearing. We'll talk about the latest New York Times poll and much more coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Today, it is day two of the Soviet-style show trial going after the best attorney general in the country, Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. Day two of that Soviet-style show trial underway once again here in about 20 minutes. Kyle Schmock was there watching the proceedings in person yesterday. He shared some great information via X. Kyle, what was it like just being there in person watching really this unprecedented action occur?
Well, yesterday I had to catch it on the live stream, unfortunately, but this morning here calling in, I'm standing outside the Supreme Court chambers, which is where this kangaroo court is taking place. So I'm here in person today and excited to see what it's like actually in the room. But I'll tell you, what I watched yesterday was just stunning. I mean, basic fact-finding has still not been done at any point in this process, even 3 years after the fact. This partisan prosecutor from the judicial branch still doesn't have his basic facts in order. He introduced into the record yesterday that the court administrators deleted emails that kicked off this whole thing were recovered. That's not true. The deleted emails were never found via legislative subpoena, via public records request, via anywhere. It blows my mind that this long after the fact, this partisan process from our courts still didn't have their facts in order. And we have their key witness yesterday, the court administrator's attorney, Randy Cox. Of course, you put him on a witness stand, and he says, yep, McLaughlin's emails were deleted. Well, that's not what he told the Montana Supreme Court when he called it a red herring about deleted emails in court filings 3 years ago. That's not what he told the U.S. Supreme Court when the case was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, saying McLaughlin still possessed those records. And it's not what he repeatedly told the press. So, you know, the AG yesterday, when he was up on the stand, said he's not going to go as far as calling people liars. So I guess I'll follow Austin's lead on that this morning. But let your listeners decide for themselves if what he said under oath on the stand matches up with what he said in official court filings, and who should really be on trial here for misconduct in court.
You know, big picture, what's been going on here, this is taking place against several other effective Republican attorneys general. The Federalist outlined this in a big article earlier this year, back in February, how, you know, the left is going after Attorney General Austin Knutson, just like they're going after other effective attorneys general. And in all of these other states across the country, this is deliberate. This is manufactured. This is phony. They're coming up with these phony complaints. And they're trying to get these guys removed from ballots. They're trying to strip away their law licenses so that they can then remove them from office or prevent them from taking office. And the Montana Supreme Court oversees and appoints the people that are involved in this entire process. And we've got a Democrat Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court, leftist justices on the Montana Supreme Court that are allowing this to happen. And it's just outrageous what they're doing. This is the first time ever, as I understand it, that a state attorney general is being hauled before some kangaroo court commission such as this. It is such an abuse of their positions of power. It is weaponization of government. And unfortunately, it's what we're seeing take place against President Trump at the national level. And the left is doing the same tactics in Helena, Montana, of all places.
And yet somehow it's still worse than you just described it. Because when they first... Yeah. The first prosecutor they brought on to do this deal recommended just basically something like a private letter saying, hey, you know, maybe use some cooler language next time. And the commission rejected that, said, nope, that's not aggressive enough for us, got rid of that guy, and brought in a new one to be more aggressive and bring all these ethics charges. I mean, they literally had to find a second prosecutor because the first one agreed that there was nothing enough here to make a big deal out of it.
If this was a Democrat attorney general like former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, he would have never even showed up. The media would be mocking the very thought that an attorney general would be hauled before some sort of kangaroo commission like this. And yet the fake news media is just kind of treating this like it's just another day in the news, when this is an outrageous violation of basic American norms.
Well, and I haven't had a chance to read the news articles from yesterday yet, but the only interesting thing to me that came out during yesterday's show trial was new information about the Montana Supreme Court that's never been publicly revealed before. Everything they were hitting Austin on has been known and discussed for years. No new information. He calmly explained the rationale for all of it, no problem. But we learned some really incredible new details about Justice Jim Rice in particular, Justice Sandifer a little bit, engaging in treating their own employees specially in a way that no one on the stand could ever identify has ever been done before. Coming in on a weekend, hauling Bowen Greenwood, the clerk of the Supreme Court, in on the weekend and ordering him to file paperwork so that they could do an entire hearing and issue an order without even informing anyone else involved in the process, all in secret over the weekend, because it's their own employee. And we didn't know the details of Justice Jim Rice's involvement in that until yesterday. In my opinion, that the actual facts of the matter went much worse for the justices of the Montana Supreme Court yesterday than they did for Attorney General Austin Knutson.
Yeah, there's two things it sounds like are going on here. One, the Montana Supreme Court and their administrator, it was just frankly embarrassing. Montana is a right-to-know state, and typically the media would be demanding a right-to-know, but not so in this case. And here you have, they were hiding email correspondence. They then tried to delete email correspondence that are public records that we have a right to know. So they're ticked off that they got called out over that.
Didn't try to delete.
They did
delete, and
yeah.
They were permanently lost, never recovered.
Yeah,
because that's like I kicked this off with. They still don't have those facts straight, even 3 years later. They were permanently deleted and never recovered.
So they're mad. So they're trying to protect their buddies. They're trying to protect their own establishment and their own system from accountability, the same accountability that every other agency in state government has to follow and have applied to them. But then on top of that, Attorney General Austin Knutson was elected by we the people to do the job of we the people. It's his job to defend state laws in court. But they don't think that he should be able to criticize their rulings or their decisions.
No, that's what people have to keep in mind, right, is that what the AG is on trial for really is calling out misconduct and not speaking nicely enough about other politicians. Judges in Montana are elected. They have to campaign. They have to raise money. Sure, they currently run on nonpartisan labels, but in every important way, judges in Montana are politicians, and I don't know why the media and everyone else decides to treat them with kid gloves and give them all this unearned respect and deference that they would never give any other politician, because you shouldn't give any politician that lack of scrutiny and that benefit of the doubt. You should be holding them accountable. They're elected by we the people, and the only way we the people can make educated decisions on who to put into these positions is if we know what they're doing.
Jake Eaton, who is Attorney General Austin Knutson's campaign manager, also made several great points via X. And he shared, you know, one of these liberal blogs, the Daily Montanan, which is a very biased left-wing blog funded by Democrat mega donors at the national level, et cetera. They did a whole write-up on the first day of this Soviet-style show trial, but not once in the 1,500-word story did they make any reference to the more than $10,000 that the panel members have donated to Democrats, or the fact that the special counsel leading this political persecution has made 27 donations to Democrats himself.
Yeah, and I haven't read that story yet, but I imagine they probably didn't mention either that several of the first members of the commission selected to hear this had to recuse themselves because they were involved in the underlying litigation and representing people involved. So clear conflicts of interest, which have been present at every step of this entire ordeal.
30 seconds before the break, Kyle, talk about the turnout. Man, I was so pleased to see how many people packed that hearing room to show support for our great attorney general. It's hard for a lot of these folks to make the trip all the way to Helena.
Yeah, no, it's Austin's got a lot of support, and he should. I mean, what he was doing at the root of this was defending the state legislature, trying to get to the truth and the bottom of the Supreme Court, trying to determine the outcome of policy decisions before it ever showed up in court. Really egregious behavior that was revealed, and the attempted cover-up continues over 3 years after the fact. Despite multiple attempts by the legislature to de-escalate, the court keeps finding new sticks to poke the legislature and poke the AG in the eye, and I don't know why they continue down this road.
And the left-wing media covers for them even while they continue to violate the constitutional right to know provisions. All right, quick break. Back after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
So if you care to tell the truth about the worst hurricane response in history and how cold and callous and how absolutely checked out Harris and Biden have been, especially when it comes to North Carolina and Georgia and the states impacted by Hurricane Helene, it's now almost 2 weeks. And if you dare talk about it, now they're trying to attack you and accuse you of being heartless. Their own website pushes diversity, equity, and inclusion over emergency response, and they divert, they raid the funds from FEMA, and then they tell us that they're running out of money, and then all of a sudden they're saying, oh, we found the money. Somehow you're the bad guy for pointing out their response sucked and that they've been missing in action for 2 weeks.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, remember the old way of shopping for custom window treatments, waiting around all day just to get an overpriced quote from some pushy commission salesperson? Well, thankfully, those days are over thanks to Blinds.com, because they invented a better way. Now, with completely virtual consultations, free samples sent right to your door, you will never have to deal with a pushy commission salesperson in your home ever again. Now, from premium woven wood to motorized shades and so much more, you can get unlimited custom window treatments installed in your house for one low cost, whether it's one window or 100. And at Blinds.com, there's never any hidden fee, no showroom markups. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And ordering online, really simple. They have their 100% satisfaction guarantee. And that means if you're not happy with the style, the color, the fit, guess what? They're going to make it work until you are happy. Shop at Blinds.com right now. Save 40% off site-wide, 40% off when you go to Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The national economy has been through one of the most violent, rapid, down-up cycles in economic growth in our modern history. That cycle is largely over. Growth will be more moderate and more stable going forward. But what would that tumultuous experience leave behind? Higher interest rates, for one thing. Higher rates, that is. Actually, today's rates are not high by historical standards, but certainly higher than the extremely low rates that prevailed before COVID. And we have higher inflation. It's come down to just above 3%, which is a lot better than 6%+ of a year ago. Maybe the Federal Reserve will get it lower. Some changes have not stuck. The surge in e-commerce, for instance, that peaked at 60% of all retail sales in the teeth of the pandemic, has settled back down to its pre-COVID trend. But working from home is here to stay, apparently. After peaking at 60% at one point, the stunning truth is that 28% of all days worked in the national economy are remote. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you by the...
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big thanks to Kyle Schmock for joining us for a recap of day one of the Soviet-style show trial taking place in Helena. He's just about to step into the hearing room for day two of this whole sham proceeding. Kyle, you know, I'm going to talk more in the 9 o'clock hour about this New York Times poll. The fake news media in Montana, especially, shamefully, the TV stations, have been piling on against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy with the most biased coverage I've ever seen out of these TV stations. And yet it's not working. The New York Times shows Tim Sheehy up 8 points over Liberal Senator John Tester. To me, this ties in with this conversation because the fake news media has also piled in against Attorney General Austin Knutson and propped up the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. I think this whole sham of a show trial is only going to help Austin Knutson even more.
I think you're exactly right, but people need to realize the seriousness of the Supreme Court's power over attorneys in the state here. Even if Austin Knutson wins election 90-10 here next month, they can still, after he's elected, strip him of his law license and therefore probably from office. So we can make fun of this show trial, point out all the flaws of it, but if the Montana Supreme Court decides to go that far, we could still be seeing a massive constitutional crisis regardless of the election results.
Great
and
point.
One thing on the media I will point out to you is to say thank you, Aaron, in particular, because you are the only person of any type of media in the state who ever actually published all of the emails that we did get from the courts via the subpoenas, the ones that weren't deleted. The only source we have for those now, because of all the court orders to not talk about them, to turn them back, Montana Talks website is the only place where all of those public records exist. Multiple other media outlets, the Montana Television Network, the Montana Free Press, Lee Newspapers, maybe some others, they all got them too, but they never published them.
You know, but those guys would sue.
You're the only one.
Those guys would sue the local police department in a heartbeat to try to make the police look bad, but man, they won't even exercise the right to know to hold the Supreme Court accountable. And Kyle, you and I both went to the School of Journalism. What a betrayal of everything they were taught and are supposed to hold dear as so-called journalists, right? But one other point I want to make here, Kyle, that I believe they are kicking, they're declaring figurative war against the people and against the state legislature. I think they're kicking the hornet's nest. I hope our lawmakers, when they go back into session in January, they defund and dismantle this whole kangaroo court commission. Because if they can do this against the attorney general of the state of Montana, what do you think they can do or are already doing to every single attorney in this state?
Oh, yeah, it's bad. And I'm going to leave leave it at that, Aaron. Step in here before they lock the doors.
All right. You sneak in. You get in on that hearing because maybe we can catch up with you tomorrow. Actually, I'll be in the Flathead tomorrow, so send me a write-up or share some tweets. Kyle, thanks for your time. Kyle Schmock, he's going to head into that hearing room right now as we speak. We got to wrap up this hour anyway. We're going to have the phone lines open for you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, and then tomorrow. That's right. We're live from Columbia Falls. I'll be broadcasting live from Northwest Parts and Equipment. Hope to see you there. Full rundown of our schedule for the whole weekend. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Some of you are thinking, hey, with the weekend coming up, man, I'd love to get out there and hike around a little bit, recon some hunting ground that I'm looking to hunt, in a couple of weeks, next month, you name it. But you're thinking, yeah, man, I just can't hike like I used to. I got this pain in my knees. I got this pain in my hips. You name it. Look, if you're somebody who's dealing with pain, I get it. You're trying to dodge surgery. You don't want to get surgery unless you absolutely have to. And you don't want to get hooked on those painkiller drugs either. So you've just been dealing with it. Well, what if there was a natural way to deal with it? Well, there is. Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They are on the ground in Montana. They specialize in regenerative treatments. Exciting new cellular therapies that can get you lasting relief the natural way. Call QC Kinetics for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.